Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. And I am deeply grateful to say this is the first podcast for January 2026 on the 3rd of this January day. And I am very grateful to be alive, to be able to be with you and to be able to answer this particular question, which I think is very important. I hope this is going to be the tone and the tenor of our new year together. I really do. This kind of question is very, very meaningful for someone like me. It is from Reagan. Reagan does not tell me where he or she lives. I'm not sure, male or female. But the question itself, Reagan, I couldn't be more grateful for. Reagan asks, who thinks, me or what? Now, let me repeat that. Who thinks, me or what? Can there be a thought without a thinker? That's the real question here. Can there be a thought without a thinker? The way we are set up, if you read Behave by Robert Sapolsky or his beautiful book, Determined, you will learn a great deal about our biology, our psychology, and you will learn a great deal about the physiology of what is going on in our brains. And as long as we identify with the mind, merged with the emotions, it is the emotions that are the energetics of our thinking. This is something that is very hard to measure, very hard to understand for most of us human beings that are not scientifically inclined. But it is true that there are thoughts that pass through only the mind. I'm going to keep it in my ballpark, Reagan, in the mind of the Gregory Edward here. He has his own chemistry, his own dopamine, his own serotonins, his own oxytocins. He has all these things in his body that create emotion and passion. And while most people are looking at that as a positive, it isn't really a positive when you get down to the nitty-gritty of thinking. Thinking is inspired or impulsed by emotion. And the state of my emotions are the state of my thoughts. They become the actual thoughts themselves. And it's how my brain interprets these emotions and makes them what they are today. So with all this being said, can there be a thinker without a thought or a thought without a thinker? This is a very interesting thing. In meditation, the thoughts are no longer. We are observing thoughts. We are observing what they think, how they think, the dictates of them, the emotionality that they inspire. But in all of that impulse, we never really look at what has caused that thought to happen. When you're quiet, when you are deeply and profoundly quiet within you, you have a sense of your own quietude. You will no longer be perpetuated by thoughts and emotions. Your emotions will be what they are, but they will not be producing thoughts in your brain like they used to. They just can't. They just won't. They'll be there, but you won't care. You will see it as the landscape of your psychology. Once this is understood deep inside, once meditation has reached you and you have come into third person, you will start to understand beyond your capacity to think. This is called awakening or realization. And once that begins to occur, you will have insight into everything that is going on around you. You will have a sense of the intuit, where you will be able to see things before they happen. You will hear things before they occur in the outer world. You will recognize things that you did not ever allow yourself to understand or to realize because you were so busy managing your thoughts through right and wrong, good and bad. And with all of this being said, now, is there a thinker? The only thinker is the automatic response of my biology upon my brain. And what little I have, but my brain. So when you start looking at whether or not did thought come first, or was it secondary? Where did it come from? You will soon see, if you sit quietly, without prejudice, without fear, without anger, if you can just sit and look for the pause, the gap between one thought and another, you will come to understand that the body is thinking on its own. Its whole effort is to stay alive. It's about DNA. It is about self-preservation. And when you are no longer interested in preserving your life through your body, but you are more interested in the space between your thoughts, you will then find self-realization. And this is a very important thing to offer to yourself, to achieve in your life. To me, it is the greatest achievement of a lifetime. But very few people see it as important. Very few people understand it. Very few people will apply themselves to it. It is more exciting for the body to have all sorts of marigamarole and falderol in its life than it is to release it. You come to understand when you're meditating that your body loves and wants all of this crazy. It wants it. It needs it. It lives for it. And it lives for the crazy of right and wrong, good and bad, making up narratives and stories and beliefs and attitudes, all of this. This is the way we are as human beings. And I am very adamant about this with my students, but they are reluctant to give up their thoughts because they truly believe that if they don't have them, they will die. Or they will cease to exist. And here is the other problem. Only in the chemicals in our brain do we believe that we exist. Without these chemicals in our brain, the serotonins, the oxytocins, the dopamine, all of that stuff that's in our brain, that is what we have called myself, the self. When we are no longer interested in the emotions of our body, and correlate them to the identity of ourselves or the manner of our living, how we will live or the state of our life, that is when something of the other shore begins to unfold. And we start to realize there is something else. Lhasa in the Tao Te Ching called it virtue. Buddha called it nirvana. Jesus called it the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't matter what you call it. What matters is, can you put aside those things inside of you that perpetrate thoughts and beliefs that keep you from the divine beauty that lives within you, the divine calm? If you do, if you can do this, which you can, then you have something deeply important occurring within you. And that occurrence will bring about the awakening. You will soon realize, oh, none of this in the outer is true. It is all what I have made up in and through my emotional thinking that has caused me to believe and think and experience what I think I'm experiencing and what I think I believe in. And that is a very important thing to understand. Reagan, thank you for your beautiful question. I hope it helped. And if not, I sent you an email. I hope you'll call me. Thank you all for listening. Happy New Year, and I'll be back on the air tomorrow. Please forgive, as always. Namaste.